welcome again, happy Easter again. He's risen. Yes, all right. Hey, before we get started with the message this morning, I just want to make a couple of really quick announcements. In 2 weeks, we're going to have our Family Sunday here. How many were at our last Family Sunday? Yeah, wasn't that off the hook? That was so great. So in 2 weeks, we're going to have another Family Sunday. What does that mean? It means that kids, babies, everybody, we're in here together. And we're going to have a wonderful time. We've got the kids, actually, they don't know it, but they're going to be participating in the service. And we've got some great stuff for them. We've got a surprise. I've got a little surprise for those of you that come to Family Sunday. We've got a little surprise for you. And then after the service, we're going to go over there where the kids meet in the kids' space. We call it the East Hall. And we're going to have just a potluck dinner. And so bring something to share. Bring a smile. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be great. So that's April 30th, our next Family Sunday. Also, that same Sunday, if you are a volunteer here in any capacity, if you're a volunteer, if you're on the coffee team, if you serve with kids, if you're a volunteer here at all, we will have breakfast together at 9 o'clock that Sunday. So we'll have breakfast together. We'll worship together. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. I love those fifth Sundays. Aren't they awesome? So yes. And then one final thing, that's this Friday, this coming Friday night, youth bowling. That's going to be so much fun. And so that's, what time is that, honey? 6:30? 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock, I think. So anyway, if you're a youth, you should know this. 7 o'clock, we're going to meet over at QC Entertainment Center. I don't even know where I'm pointing. I'm just pointing. We're going to meet at QC Entertainment Center? Yes, thank you. Just ask Andy. And we'll be there 7 o'clock. Bring 10 bucks. We'll have pizza bowl together if you are between the ages of, 13 and 22? And so come, 12 and 22? Is that 10-year span? Okay, so come. That'll be great. So, all right, now that we have the commercials out of the way, if we haven't met yet, my name is Lee. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And at Mercy Vineyard, let's put the slide up. This is what we're all about right here. Can we say our vision together, our mission statement together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about, right? We're all about loving Jesus, loving each other, loving our community. We're growing in Christ together. We're going, right? We're serving each other. We're serving the community, and we love it. And so we had some wonderful prayer times. This week was this last week is our week of prayer and fasting, and we got together for times of worship and prayer. We prayed around the neighborhood and just prayed for God's blessings here, God's presence here. I don't know if maybe you might have noticed that there was a building on fire across the street as you came in today. And so we're going to, you know what, we're going to see what the needs are there. And as a church, I think we need to be open to go meet needs to people who lived in that building and whatever we can do. And so that's what we're all about. Our presence in the neighborhood is to be a blessing. And, you know, I think that if a church pulls out of a neighborhood and leaves and they're not missed, they didn't do their job. And so we want to be a blessing here. We believe that God's planted us here. So, hey, if it's your first time here, thank you for coming to check us out. I know it can be weird and awkward, especially in like a smaller church, because everybody knows you're a visitor, right? It's so weird. It's so much easier to visit a big church because, like, you know, you can just sort of hide out and probably nobody will notice. Everybody notices. But you know what? Thank you. Thank you for coming to check us out. I hope you filled out a connection card so we could send you some whiteies. If it's your second time here, I'm so glad we didn't scare you off. I'm so happy that you didn't go, freak show, and then not come back. And so we're just so glad that you're here. And if you have any questions at all, go ahead and see myself or Wendy or one of our volunteers or go to findmercy.org. We'll do our best to answer your questions. And that's all. All right. So this morning what we're doing, it's Easter Sunday. And usually on Easter Sunday, we like to kick off a series, right? And we like to kind of do series, 3- and 4-part series here in our church. And we're kicking off a series called Made for More. And what we're doing is we're looking at just what God has for us and what God has for our lives. And I remember when I was a kid, they used to play these ads on TV. And does anybody remember Ronco? Ron Popeil? How many remember Ron Popeil? Yes, yeah. Oh, gosh. And they would run those ads on TV. And and as I started this series, I started thinking about those ads I used to play when I was a kid. And I used to watch a lot of UHF television. Does anybody remember UHF television? Yeah, so for those Unish who grew up with cable TV, who grew up in the age of, you know, digital television or whatever, we had VHF television, which was like your big networks, your ABC, your NBC, your CBS, your PBS. And then we had UHF television, which were like these channels that were sort of like independently owned back in the day before Fox bought them all. And they would show things like, you know, The Son of Sven Gulli on Saturday nights. And they would show Beverly Hillbillies reruns and stuff like that. And those UHF television stations would show the craziest commercials. And there were a few companies and a few products that always seemed to be on the thing. Like this one here, the Pocket Fisherman. How many remember the Pocket? Did you have one, Michael? Did you? All right. They work. They really work. Michael's testimony, right? The Pocket Fisherman, that was one of it. It was a fishing pole that you could keep in your glove box in your car. That was like a big one. There was another one. There's another commercial. What's the thing? Yeah, for the sauna pants. The sauna pants. Did anybody ever own sauna pants? Okay, all right. So I still wear mine around the house once in a while, but like until the cat gets on me, and then it's over, right? But like that you wear them and you help they help you sweat and lose weight. The sauna pants. And then there was another one. There was the clapper. Does anybody remember the clapper? Yes. How many remember the song? Clap on, clap off, the clapper. So. I actually had this bright idea one summer that I was going to get a clapper, and because I always kept an oscillating fan next to my bed. This was back before every household had air conditioning. Yeah, anybody remember that? Yeah, every house didn't have air conditioning? Yeah. So I grew up in a house without air conditioning. The only air conditioner in the whole house was in my parents' bedroom. Thanks, Mom and Dad, you know, for nothing. And I remember that I would put an oscillating fan next to my bed, but a lot of times in the middle of the night, I would get cold. And so I would get up and turn off the oscillating fan so that I would warm back up a little bit. So I thought, I've got this brilliant idea. I'm going to connect an oscillating fan to a clapper, and if I get cold in the middle of the night, all I got to do is clap, and it'll turn it off, right? But what I didn't realize was that the breeze from the oscillating fan sometimes would catch the clapper and then shut it off. So like all night long, I would wake up because I was too hot because the breeze from the fan would catch the clapper. So like probably five times during the night, I'd be like, trying to get the fan to turn back on, right? So let me just, in case you're ever wondering, great with lights, not so good with oscillating fans, all right? There was also, there was this one here. How many remember? Yeah. The granddaddy of like TV commercials. The granddaddy of these commercials ran constantly. The Ginsu knives. And they were just amazing. And what they did is they started kind of a new generation of commercials by inventing sort of this new phrase when they gave their commercial, all right? And these were the knives that could cut through anything and still stay sharp. These are just a couple random facts about the Ginsu knives. They were first called Eversharp. That was their first name. They first came out, they called them Eversharp, but they never sold. Nobody wanted to buy Eversharp knives. Ginsu is actually a made-up word, and it doesn't mean anything. Not a thing. Ginsu, you won't. If you go to Japan and you walk up and say Ginsu, nobody will know what you're saying. Okay? But it sells. But the word Ginsu just sold like crazy. Ginsu knives were actually originally manufactured in Fremont, Ohio, not Japan. Okay? They had nothing to do with Japan. The Japanese chef in the commercial, do you remember the commercial? The Japanese chef, he's got the tall hat and the handkerchief, and he's like cutting through tin cans. The Japanese chef was a foreign exchange student. That's it. He was not a Japanese chef. He was just here as a foreign exchange student. But the brilliance of their commercials was this phrase that they invented, and it became borrowed from tons of other commercials after that point. And I want to see if you can pick out the phrase, because I found the script to the Ginsu knife commercial. I'm going to read a part of it from you. Let's see if you can just find the phrase, okay? You guys ready? Do you guys remember the voice? It's like, it's a knife that no kitchen should be without. Do you remember that voice? Okay? It says, the Ginsu can cut a slice of bread so thin you can almost see through it. It cuts meat better than an electric knife and goes through frozen food as though it was melted butter. The Ginsu is so sharp it can cut through a tin can and still slice a tomato like this. It can cut wood and still remain razor sharp. What's more, it's a knife that will last forever. How much would you pay for a knife like this? Before you answer, listen. It even comes with a matching fork to make carving a pleasure. That's a pretty big promise, because if you ever carved a turkey, you know it sucks. That's like my least favorite part. Being the man of the house, it's always on me to carve the turkey every year, and I hate it. I usually end up tearing it apart with my hands. It says, it makes carving a pleasure. Wait, there's more. I'm not trying to be obvious or anything. We also want you to have this 6-in-1 kitchen tool. It peels and slices carrots. It peels potatoes and slices paper-thin potato chips. This amazing little knife even grates carrots, grates cheese, and makes beautiful decorative vegetables that don't taste any better because they're decorative. How much would you pay for all these items? Well, we'll even give you this set of 6 precision steak knives. The handles even match the Ginsu. And to make this offer completely irresistible, you'll get this unique spiral slicer. Now, how much would you pay? Right? How many caught the magic phrase? Wait, there's more, right? But wait, there's more. So hats off to you if you caught the wait, there's more. I tried not to be too obvious, okay? And those words, like wait, there's more, this sort of like over, I'm going to over-deliver. You thought it was worth it at $20 for just the knife, but there's more, right? This over-delivery, those words have this way of sort of drawing us in, thinking, more than just the knife, more than just the peeler, more than the steak knives, what? You know, wow, I don't want to lose money on this deal. I better get it, you know. And we see that there's wait, there's more. But, you know, the thing is like the life that God offers us is a lot like that. The life that God offers us is so much like we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because it means that Jesus is alive and now we have our sins forgiven. Now we can spend eternity in heaven. But wait, there's more. There's so much more, right? But wait, there's more. It's not about just, now I can go to eternity. Sweet Beulah land. Now I can go to heaven, right? But there's so much more. And I think most of us think, even if we're following Jesus, sometimes we take a look at our lives, and I won't take a showing of hands, but I'll show my hand. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think, there's got to be more, right? Anybody else ever think that, maybe? Yeah. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. Maybe we're looking at the routine of our lives, you know, and every morning we wake up, we look in the mirror, we brush our teeth, we jump in the shower, we go off to work, we come home, we have dinner, we watch television, whatever, we go to bed, we get back up, and we do that over and over and over again, and we sort of look at our lives and go, there's got to be more. There has got to be more than this. Right? But there's more. And God offers us more. Okay? And if there is more, then why does it seem like a lot of times we're not experiencing it? Why does it seem, if Jesus is going, I'm giving you life abundantly, I'm giving you more, you get more than just the Ginsu knife, you get the fork, you get the steak knives, you get the slicer and the peeler and the spiral thing and all that, you get all of this, why does it seem like a lot of times it's just sort of like not all the extra stuff? Right? But wait, there's more, okay? There's got to be more. And if there's more, why does it seem like we're not experiencing it? Why does it seem sometimes like life is like we ordered the whole Ginsu package, right? We ordered it all. We ordered the whole package, but all we got was the knife. Does it seem like that sometimes? Like all we got was just sort of the knife. Why am I not experiencing these things? Why don't I experience all of the extras? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that over the next 4 weeks. I'm so excited because God has something awesome for you. God has more for you. God has life abundant for you. God has got some amazing things for you. And so we're going to talk about that over the next 4 weeks. And I hope that you stay with us and you track with us because I believe that for some of you, you're going to experience a breakthrough in your walk with Jesus. Some of you guys are going to experience a breakthrough in your life, okay? But we got to take the prescriptions. We got to do what God tells us to do, right? Okay? I think sometimes we just think, okay, God, give me more. God? You know? And we think that that's how it works. But you know what? It doesn't always work that way, does it? It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we have to follow God's prescription and do what he says to do. And so we're going to talk about that. But first, let's pray, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the awesome life, for the blessings that you've given us, that you've promised us. God, for all of the things that Jesus won on the cross. Forgiveness is awesome, and that's a gift we could never repay. That's an indescribable gift. We could celebrate forgiveness all day long, but there's so much more. There's so much more. And so, God, I ask that you would help us to be people who walk in the more, who walk in the things that you've promised, who walk in the things that you have given us and won for us and purchased for us. Open up your word to us. Let it bring change and transformation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to start off by looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. I love the book of Ephesians. If you were to say, look, you've got to memorize one book of the Bible or you're going to lose your driver's license, I would probably pick Ephesians. I love Ephesians. And so if you're kind of like, hey, I'm thinking about maybe reading the Bible more, start with Ephesians, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. But we're going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. It was written by the Apostle Paul. It was to the church in the city of Ephesus. And he's talking about some of the great blessings that have come because of Jesus' death and resurrection, right? He's talking about, like, in this letter, Ephesians, he's talking about but wait, there's more, okay? It's the but wait, there's more pitch to the Ephesians. He says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength. Everybody say inner strength. Yeah, through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand. Hey, say power to understand with me. So we got inner strength, we got power to understand, but wait, there's more, right? As all God's people should know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is, right? May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you'll be made complete with the fullness of life and power. Huh? Doesn't that sound good? Wait, there's more. Fullness of life and power. Okay? That comes from God. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Infinitely more. So how good is God? How good is God? And we go, well, God is this good. God is this good. God is this good. You know what? He's infinitely more good. And he's able to do infinitely more than what you can ask or think. You know, if you remember one thing today, I just want you to remember this. Take this with you when you're thinking about God, when you're thinking about life, when you're thinking about your walk with him. And that's that God is more generous towards us than we could ever imagine. So if we can imagine this generous God, we imagine this loving God, we imagine all the things that God has for us. But guess what? More than you can imagine, God is generous towards you. Even more than you can imagine. And I hope that it will blow your mind how good God is to you. I hope it'll just blow your mind how generously God lavishes his love on you. How scandalously gracious and loving and awesome he is to you. Okay? God is more generous towards us than we could ever, ever imagine. And so many times we look at the forgiveness that comes through Christ's death and resurrection and we go, that's enough. That's just enough. You know, I'm just grateful for that. And I definitely don't deserve anything else. Ever thought that before? I'm just grateful for your forgiveness, Jesus, and I don't deserve anything else. But you know what? You don't even deserve the forgiveness, you know? We don't deserve anything else, and we don't even deserve the forgiveness. But God is saying, what? Wait, there's more. Wait, there's more. Have you ever done that to your kids? You know what? Like last Christmas, my mom came over, and she brought Christmas presents for my boys, right? And it was hilarious. Almost like this embarrassment of riches, but the way that she did it, she gave them Star Wars action figures. And they opened them up and they go, thanks, Grandma, this is awesome. She's like, well, there's more. And, oh, more Star Wars action figures. Wait, there's more. More. And they're like laughing. They're like, ha 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 ha. You know, like a Scrooge McDuck diving into a pile of gold coins, you know, like swimming through it. It was just this embarrassment of like riches, you know. Somehow my mom got some sort of strange deal. Some lady was saving them for a decade and just was like, I'm cleaning out the garage. Do you want these? And so my mom took them and gave them to my boys. But it was just this embarrassment. But that's how God wants to bless us. He's more generous than we could ever imagine. Okay, there's so much more. Wait, there's more. And there's inner strength. There's understanding. There's fullness of life. There's power. And there's experiencing the love of Christ. There's so much more. And if our relationship with God is just a simple Sunday service and maybe a few thoughts during the week, we're missing it because God's like, I've got so much more. I've got inner strength for you. I've got power. I've got greater understanding for you. And when we're trying to understand, God says, I want to help you understand. But there's more, there's more, there's more. There's infinitely more than you could ever ask and you could ever imagine. God's got more. Isn't that awesome? God has got more. That's way more exciting than you seem to be letting on to. There's so much more. There's infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. So if God has more for us, more than we could ask or imagine, then why does it seem like we're not experiencing it? Right? If God has so much more, then why am I walking in depression? If God has so much more, then why do I feel like he's not talking to me? If God has so much more, then why am I always anxious? If God has so much more, then why do I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with my life? If God has more, then why am I not experiencing it? That's a big question. God has strength for me, but I feel so weak. He has peace and he has power, then why am I riddled with anxiety? If I'm supposed to be experiencing the love of Christ, then why does it feel like he's so far away? Those are questions that we have to ask and that we tend to ask. And if there's one thing I've learned over the years, if there's one thing I've learned about God's more, about what God has for us, okay? If there's one thing that I've learned, it's that those bonus items, it's not because God didn't send them. Right? It's not because God is holding out. It's not because, oh, he changed his mind. And he went, hey, you know what? I know I said I had more, but times are tough. The wallet's a little thin. It's not because God is holding out on us, right? It's not because God didn't send them. The love and the generosity of God are beyond measure. They're beyond measure. And if I'm not experiencing the greatness of God, if I'm not experiencing that, the greatness of God, it's not because there's a problem on God's end. It's not because he's changed his mind about loving me, or he's suddenly become stingy, or like because, oh, well, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm different than the God of the Bible. When I said those things, I was speaking to those people. I wasn't talking to you, right? It's not because God is all of a sudden stingy. If I'm not receiving God's blessing, it's usually because I'm struggling to receive them for one reason or another, right? The problem is not on God's end. The problem is on my end. And for most people, the struggle to experience all that God has for them boils down to one thing. And it boils down to this. It's my capacity to receive keeps me from experiencing God's generosity. It's my capacity to receive that keeps me from experiencing God's generosity. It's not that God is holding out on me. It's not that God is like, hey, I'm generous with everybody else, but you, not so much. You're an exception. You know what? I'm blessing your neighbor. I'm blessing other people that you know at church. But you, you know what? You need to learn to be humble. Right? You ever feel that one? Okay? And so it's my capacity to receive. It keeps me from experiencing God's generosity. In Matthew 9:17, Jesus says that you can't put new wine into old wineskins, right? You can't put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise what? It'll be wasted, right? The wineskins break and the wine will be wasted, okay? Have you ever are you like us, like when the kids are small and you're eating a fine piece of chocolate and your kid wants a piece of the chocolate and you're thinking to yourself, this chocolate was expensive. That kid's not going to appreciate this chocolate. It's going to be wasted, right? They don't know the difference between fine chocolate and a Tootsie Roll. Go give them a Tootsie Roll, you know? But sometimes we don't receive what God has for us because we're like old wineskins. It'll just be wasted. And we have to prepare our hearts to receive from God, okay? And so we don't want what God gives us to be wasted. And the question is, can you contain what God has for you? Can you contain what God has for you? Are you hungry for it, or are you satisfied with the status quo? I think a lot of us become satisfied with the status quo. You know, it's all good, man. I'm perfectly happy just with the way everything is. I'm perfectly happy with my sort of like, you know, distant relationship with God. I'm perfectly happy. You know what? I say hi to him at dinner time sometimes. You know, I'm perfectly happy with it. And we become happy with the status quo, and that keeps us from receiving from God. You know, and so can you contain what God has for you? Are you willing to seek his word? Are you willing to seek his face for it? Okay? Are you willing to seek God for it? Are you willing to grow into the kind of person that will be faithful with his blessings? Right? Will you learn to appreciate fine chocolate? Are you going to be okay with Tootsie Rolls? You know? And these are things that we grow into. These are things that we grow to, okay? The problem is not a supply shortage. The problem is a capacity problem. There's no shortage of God's supply. It's a capacity problem. And the problem is on our end. Because God has more power, right? He has more peace. He has more healing. He has more provision. He has more dreams. He has more opportunities. He has more ideas for you. And no matter how long you've been following Jesus, God still has more for you. He still has more for you. Okay, we don't retire from growing and receiving from the Lord and experiencing his goodness. We don't retire from that, okay? And so he still has more for you. But the question is, do you have the capacity to receive it? Can you receive it? Psalms 81:10 says, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things." Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things, okay? Have you ever tried to feed, you know, I remember like when our children, Forrest especially, when he was a baby and he was in a high chair, and sometimes we'd try to feed him like peas, and he'd be like, y'all remember, anybody try to feed a baby who won't open their mouth? Yes, yes, right? It's still like that today. Just kidding. You know, you're trying to feed him, keeps his mouth closed, and you're trying to, it's like you stick their little rubber-ended spoon in their mouth, and all the food just sort of goes back onto the handle, right? It's just not getting in there. If you try to feed a baby one over his mouth, God isn't going to force his blessings on us. He's not going to force his blessings on us. We have to open up, and we have to receive, okay? And so there are two ways that you can increase your capacity. How do we increase our capacity to receive from the Lord? How do we increase our capacity to get there's more. Well, the first thing that you can do is I can enlarge the capacity I have. I can enlarge what I have. That's one way that you can increase your capacity, okay? In other words, give God more space in your life. Give God some more space. A lot of us, we live minute to minute to minute to minute. We're busy with this. We're busy with that. We get home from work. We've already got plans to go out and do this. And so there's no space for God in our lives. We have to increase our understanding of God. We have to grow. God made us to grow. And when we made that decision that I'm going to follow Jesus one day, it wasn't just so that we can get that little ticket to heaven. It was so that we can grow, because God has life for us here. It's because Jesus came and he showed us a new way to be human. Jesus came and he showed us a new way to live. And so God has so much more for us, okay? And so we have to increase our understanding of God. We have to grow in the Lord. It should be a priority of every believer to grow in the Lord, to learn more about Jesus, to seek him in Scripture, to seek him in prayer. That should be a priority for every believer, to grow in the Lord. We need to dream big dreams about what God can do through you. When was the last time you just sat and daydreamed about what God can do through you? You know, unfortunately, what we used to have, remember, you guys remember back in the day when we had daydream time? When we would sit and daydream when we were getting the oil change, and we would sit and daydream at a red light, and we would sit and daydream in church, and we would sit and daydream. But now it's like every moment of our thoughts are taken up with this. Crack! You know? And so we don't daydream anymore. We give our attention to our phones, we give our attention to our computers, we give our attention to our television sets. We're addicted to this stuff like crack. And it's inhibited our ability to just sit and be quiet and let God speak to us. To just sit and daydream and go, you know what? If I make myself available to God, I could probably get my boss saved. You know what? If I make myself available to God, God can show me how I can bless our neighbors. If I just kind of sit and just instead of looking at my phone or giving my attention to these other things, I can make room for God to speak to me. And so dream big dreams. Step out in faith. Do something that makes your friends go, "You're weird." Right? Because God calls us to be weird. God calls us to do crazy things. God calls us to do things where our family look at us and go, "What in the world are you thinking? Why would you do that?" Right? God calls us to do weird things like pray for a stranger. God calls us to do weird things like take a job that pays less so that we're more available to serve God. God calls us to do weird things like take our tax refund instead of buying a new TV, you know, giving a donation to a charity or to Roll Family Kids Camp or something like that. God calls us to do weird things. Heck, we live in a weird age where just tithing is weird to people. You give 10% of your income to your church? What? Are you nuts? Maybe. But I'm stepping out in faith because when I step out in faith and let God stretch me, it makes room for Him to bless me. It makes room for Him to do things in me and through me. Step out in faith. Get a God-sized dream for your life and watch God move through you. Do something weird. Get a God-sized dream for your life, okay? Another thing that we can do to increase our capacity is to get around people with big faith. Get around people who are doing crazy things for the Lord. Get around people who are like, "You know what? I'm going to take a week off work." I love our camp staff because they're so full of faith. They're nuts. They're weird. They take a week off work, a lot of them unpaid off work for an entire week, and they spend their time with a bunch of dirty-faced, foul-mouthed, abused, and neglected foster children. Right? And they do that, and they have faith that God's going to meet their needs, God's going to pay their bills, God's going to take care of everything because they're making themselves available to do something for God, something weird, something strange. Okay? And so get around people with faith. Find other believers to sit with and have coffee with and have them challenge you about the way you're living your life. All right? Get around people with big faith. A lot of times, our limitations are self-imposed. We're conditioned to believe we can only do a little. Isn't that how we're conditioned? I mean, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when a need is presented to me, my first thought isn't, "How can I rush in there and help meet that need?" My first thought is, "Well, I can't afford that because of this. I don't have the time to do that because of this." My first thoughts are usually the limiting thoughts, right? And I've got to push through those and go, but God is able. But God can do it through me. But God can meet my needs. But God. But wait, there's more, right? Get around people with big faith. Okay, don't get around complainers. Don't get around whiners. You know, the worst thing is when you get around people who complain, then what happens? You start to complain. Isn't negativity just stinking contagious? When you get around people that are negative, complaining, it's all about, you know, just "I'm getting screwed" and blah, 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 you know, and it's just like, and it rubs off. It's like a disease. It's like somebody, But get around people with faith because faith will rub off on you too, right? Faith will rub off on you too. And so a lot of times those limitations are self-imposed. We're conditioned to believe we can only do a little bit, but we need to stretch our faith muscles. It's just like the gym, right? It's just like the gym. Anybody here who works out a lot, who's been to the gym, knows when you start, if you go to the gym and you're like, "It's time to do dumbbell flies," and you haven't been to the gym in 5 years, and you grab a set of 50s, it's like bees stinging your entire body the next day. "Oh God, why did I take the 50s? You know, I mean, you got to start off and you got to develop your muscles and faith muscles. We have faith is like a muscle, and we just start and we make another small step, and we go, "What? God met my needs. Well, God was there. Well, God blessed me when I did that thing. I'm going to do something bigger." And so just stretch your faith muscles. Okay? Luke 6:38 says, "The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Right? The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So we need to give with faith, live with faith, dream big dreams, right? And it will increase our capacity to get back, right? But wait, there's more, okay? And so we enlarge our capacity to receive from God when we step out in faith with our generosity, when we step out in faith with serving others, when we step out in faith with self-sacrifice. We discover in the process that these things create opportunity for God's blessings. They create opportunities for God's blessings. Not to kind of keep harping on the camp example, but when we started camp, our first camp was $25,000. We had no idea we were going to get $25,000. We did not go, first, let's get $25,000 together, and then we'll agree to do the camp. Because isn't that what we like to do, right? First, we'll see how all the pieces come together, and then we'll step out in faith. Can I just tell you, that's not stepping out in faith. That's not stepping out in faith at all. No, we just went, we're doing it, right? And then we got together 50 volunteers. We raised $25,000 for that first camp. It's because we made the decision before we knew how everything was going to come into place. And we made a step of faith. We made a step of faith. Okay? And so the next thing that we can do to increase our capacity is by eliminating things that we don't need. Right? Eliminate things that you don't need. Did I miss an entire page of notes? No. Thank you, Bill. So, eliminate things that you don't need, okay? Have you ever done a major purge of your house? Have you ever done that? Wendy was doing that yesterday. She was doing some purging, and she was like, she tossed out a big garbage bag full of clothes and all that stuff. And did you toss out shoes, too? If anybody here has really tiny feet and you need shoes, see Wendy. She's got some she's getting rid of. And or just really tiny clothes. You, if you're super tiny, you might be able to wear them, or you can give them to your little girl. And but just see, you know, what she's got, and you could have it. But we can either enlarge what we have, or we could eliminate what we don't need. And so if you've ever done that thing where you've purged the house, you've gone through and you've gotten rid of all this stuff, and you were like, then you had like a garage sale and you sold it off, and whatever didn't sell in the garage sale, you took down a Goodwill and you totally purged. Did you notice that, like, you look around and you go, my house feels bigger. You hear that? Yeah. Wow. Oh, my house feels bigger. And it's not that your house actually got bigger, but it seems bigger. The house is the same size. But you know what? Now you have more room. You've increased your capacity. Because life just has a way of accumulating stuff without us even trying. Right? None of us go, I got to get out there and buy some more stuff. Right? Well, I've got a corner in the basement that is empty. I need to fill it with crap I don't need. Right? We don't do that. We don't like intentionally go out. It's just that our life has a way of just accumulating stuff. And in the same way, our spiritual life, our emotional life, has a way of just accumulating things. We accumulate bitterness sometimes, right? We don't go out and go, I need to get bitter. I am way too happy, right? I'm going to look for somebody to offend me today. Who's going to do it? Steve, son of a gun. I'm just kidding. So, you know, we don't do that. We don't do that. It's just that we do. Things happen. Life happens. Sometimes people maybe look at us the wrong way. Sometimes people point us out in the middle of a sermon. Sometimes people do something, and they don't mean to be offensive, but we take on offense. We take on bitterness. We take on bad attitudes. We don't mean to, but we accumulate those things just like we accumulate garbage around the house that we don't need. It just happens, right? We gather strife. We gather selfishness. We accumulate those things without really doing anything to like keep them at bay. And these things, they reduce our capacity to receive from God. In other words, those things just stink up our lives. The things that we just sort of accumulate without meaning to, they just stink. They stink up our lives. Have you ever got around somebody who's just so bitter, who has such a horrible attitude, they're so negative that you're just like, oh, I just don't even want to be around them. Right? Can I just say, they didn't go out going, let me just get bitter here. What can I get bitter about? You know, they allowed things to accumulate in their lives, and they weren't intentional about keeping them at bay. They weren't intentional about being more loving. They weren't more intentional about renewing their mind with God's word. They weren't more intentional about experiencing God's presence. They just accumulated those things. And that's why when we put on God's armor, we put it on every day. right? We don't just put on God's armor and then just sort of like, okay, we're all good to go, and that's a lifetime warranty on that bad boy. You know, we get before God and we put on his armor every day. We have to be intentional, or those things will come on us and they will stink up our lives. They have to be dealt with. Bitterness has to be dealt with. Bad attitudes have to be dealt with. Okay? Anxiety, it has to be dealt with. The things that we accumulate, the junk that clutters up our lives, it's got to be dealt with. And we've got to get before the Lord. We've got to get to somebody who will pray for us, someone who will hold us accountable. We've got to deal with those things and not let them fester in our lives, because before we know it, we start to stink. I know a guy, I remember one time, we got together, and he said, hey man, why don't you come out and check out my van? And we were sitting at a restaurant, and he said, hey, check out my van. And I said, cool. And so we go out to his van, and he opens the door, and like a reek punch in the face, the worst smell you'd ever, I mean, it's just like, if you ever smelled something so bad, you get sick to your stomach. You see, you feel like a little bit of gag reflex. Like, oh my word, it was that bad. He opened up the door to his van, and it stunk. And both of us were like, what the heck happened to your, is that why you brought me out here? He's like, no, I swear, when I got here, it didn't smell like this. I swear. And so what he did was he went into the van, and he looked around to see where the smell was coming from. And in the very back of the van, what had rolled back there was a jug of chocolate milk. And it had sat back there for weeks in the summer heat. And in the time between when he got out of his van to come into the restaurant and we came back out, it had burst. Oh, nasty. Can I just say, he didn't have to do anything to make that milk stink. He didn't have to go back there and nurse the milk and go, come on, milk, get stinky. Come on, milk, explode. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. No, all he had to do was not deal with it. All he had to do was not deal with that jug of milk. All he had to do was just let it sit there without going through and examining his van and checking for possible stinky things and getting rid of them. He just had to let it go. He didn't have to do anything to make it stink. And that's the same thing in our lives. Bad attitudes, you don't have to do things to make your bad attitudes stink. You don't have to do things to make yourself more anxious, to make yourself, more bitter. You don't have to do anything. They'll just grow and get stinky on their own. That's why we have to deal with them, and when we deal with them and we cut them out of our lives, it makes more room for God. Don't let the little things stink up your life. Don't let the little things stink up your life, because we do that. Oh my goodness, go to a family reunion, you'll get offended by 5 different people, and because all they did was say this little comment, or they said something to you with this tone of voice, and that little thing kind of gets its hook in you, and before you know it, you start to stink. Don't let the little things stink up your life, because they will take up space that God would like to fill up with the more, with the great things, right? With the vision, with the passion, with the love for others, with the peace, with the wisdom. Don't let the little things stink up your life. Get rid of them, because God wants to give you greater things, but he can't if you're holding on to the things that you don't need. So we can either enlarge what we have, or we can increase our capacity by eliminating the things that we don't need. And so as we wrap up this morning and we kind of go in, I'm so excited about the next 3 weeks. The question that I have for you is, what's taking up space in your life that's keeping you from receiving? That's a good question. Let's do this real quick. Let's just close our eyes. We'll just wrap up with just a minute of just self-examination. What is taking up space in your life that's keeping you from receiving? What is taking up space? What is the thing that's just sort of like maybe making a little stink? And sometimes it's not attitude, sometimes it's activities. Sometimes we're just on our phone too much and we can't hear from God. We're just spending too much time in front of the television set and we can't be used by God. I always laugh when somebody says I don't have time, and then they broadcast on Facebook all the garbage they're doing, instead of not having time to serve the Lord, But here's what I want to pray for us today and for you today, that you would have the courage to deal with the things that are taking up space in your life and leaving less room for God. That you would have the courage to deal with those things that just accumulate and clutter. And in the process, as you deal with those things, as you deal with those attitudes, as you deal with those that bitterness, as you deal with just activities that are taking up space, as you deal with a lack of faith, I want to pray that you have the courage to dream God-sized dreams. That you would have such God-sized dreams, and you will step out in faith, and you will allow God to move in your life and move through your life. And so I'm going to do something kind of strange, and this may not seem very Easter-ish, but if you would like me to pray for you this morning, because you say, you know what, I got things in my life that are limiting my capacity. I've got attitudes in my life that are limiting my capacity. I've got activities in my life that are limiting my capacity. I'm not stepping out in faith. I've got a small capacity. Then all I want you to do is just raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Lots of us, lots of us. Anybody else? Father, I pray for every person with their hand raised in this place this morning. I pray, God, that with precision and grace and love and gentleness, that you would just help them to lay those things at your feet. That you would just graciously look at them and just say, just leave it here. Just leave it here. Leave that bitterness here. Leave that filthy attitude here. Leave that fear here. Leave that lack of faith here. Just leave it at my feet. Just leave it at my feet. God, I pray that even now, you would begin to fill us with dreams. Fill us, God, with God-sized dreams, God-sized vision. God, that our vision would go so far beyond just making a living and living. That our vision, God, would be so far beyond the maintenance of our lives. Give us God-sized dreams. God wants to give some of you dreams of a business, of entrepreneurship. God wants to give some of you dreams of reaching out to the disenfranchised, to the refugees. God wants to give some of you dreams of reaching out to our neighborhood. God wants to give some of you dreams of just raising a family that's so passionately in love with Jesus. That God wants to give you dreams of out financially giving anyone you've ever known. Like the guy who wanted to outgive his entire church combined, God. I believe God wants to give you dreams. God, we receive that from you. We receive those dreams. We receive those God-sized visions. God, I pray that we would be a place of miracles. Miracles, God. God, that we would be people who would never settle for just the knife. That we would be people who would never settle for just a ticket to heaven. That we would experience your more, your life abundant. We praise you for that. We praise you for that. We praise you for that. With everybody still praying, with everybody still just with head bowed, you know, you might be here this morning and you're thinking, wow, that sounds awesome. God has some awesome things for me. But you know what? I'm really not a follower of Jesus. I've never kind of, you know, I'm kind of far away from him. I'm not walking with Jesus. Maybe you were in the past, but now you're not. Or maybe you just never have. And I just want to pray for you as well. And so without anybody looking around, if that's you, can I pray for you? Will you just lift your hand and I'll pray for you? Jesus, we love you and we thank you for the great price that you paid, that you died on a cross, but you didn't stay in the grave. And this morning we pray that you would take us in, that you would you'd forgive us of our sins and let us walk in fellowship and friendship with you. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. We can never repay. But we receive with gratitude all you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.